I would like to thank the organizer giving me the chance to talk about our recent work. The work is in this paper, and the work is done by collaborating with Yingcheng He in the audience. And the topic is about the complex fixed point leading to approximate conformality of Q larger than 4 post model. So for some of you, maybe there are terms you are not familiar with, but let me start with very basic thing, the text example. So as we know, any continuous phase transition always corresponds to fixed points. The textbook example is the classical Ising model. And it's well known that it has the finite temperature phase transition. It corresponds to a fixed point in its low energy effective theory, the 5-4 theory. If we tune the coefficient of the quadratic term, we are able to reach the fixed point. And also we can vary this quartic term. So if the coefficient of this quartic term become negative, then we actually describe a first order phase transition. In between, we can find a tricritical point at some particular value of this coefficient. And microscopically, this low energy physics can be realized by this so-called dilute Ising model by introducing the vacancies into the pure Ising model. In order to consider this problem simply, we only consider the physics of lambda. In order to do this, we tune the temperature first to the critical temperature, and then we can write down the beta function for this lambda. It actually has this particular form. By solving this beta equation, beta function, we are able to find the two fixed points. Away from the fixed point, we can find the RG flow, showing us this one is the critical point and this one is the tricritical point. And also, from this simpler figure, we can also see the nature of transition from continuous phase transition to change to the first order phase transition if we cross this tricritical point. So now let us play with this RG equation a little bit more to find the physics beyond the dilute Ising model. The first thing we can do is to change the value of A. Suppose we decrease the value of A from its original positive value, then we can find the two fixed points actually getting closer to each other. When A approaches to zero, then we only find one fixed point along this line of lambda. And when A is negative, we cannot find any fixed point along this line. And this change of fixed point structure also tells us the phase transition we can find here is continuous phase transition. However, as A changes to negative, we cannot find any continuous phase transition, but instead we find the first order phase transition. So this also indicates a changeover of transition nature. This whole physics is actually happened in our familiar Q-state post model. It's well known that there is a changeover of transition type from continuous to first order if we change our integer value of Q from some value smaller than 4 to larger than 4. And Q is equal to 4 is very special value where the transitions start to change. With this extended axis of lambda, we actually present the physics of dilute post model, where the physics is described in this RG equation, with A determined by the difference between QC and Q. Now let's look at this RG equation more, and it seems we can take one step more, just as hundreds of years ago, Gauss did. We can allow the lambda to be a complex value. So if this is true, then we need to add an additional axis to our graph, which representing the imaginary part of the lambda. Then at negative A, we actually can find two complex roots, which are called the complex fixed points, appear in the system on this imaginary axis. So these are complex fixed points. Although it's outside of our real system, those smart people propose it would have important physical consequence. Before I talk about any detail about the physical consequence, let me recap a little bit. So far I talk about how we create complex fixed points in our system. It's created by a mechanism called a fixed point collision. We can always have one stable fixed point and one unstable fixed point, and the chosen parameter lead to the collision of these two fixed points. And then this creates two complex, actually complex conjugate fixed points because they locate at a complex conjugate physical parameters. And one simple consequence of this physical of this fixed point collision is that there is a changeover of phase transition from continuous to first order. And this fixed point, complex fixed points and fixed point collision is not only happened in the Q-state pulse model. It happens. It's quite generic and happens in many other physical systems. So let me give you some example. For example, many gauge theories in 2 plus 1D and 3 plus 1D has this type of feature. So firstly, we can look at non-abelian gauge theories, where the non-abelian gauge field coupled with n-flavor massless fermions or bosons. In the large N limit, we know the theory is solvable, and the system is live in a conformal phase. However, in the small n limit, there is a spontaneous mass generation lead to symmetry breaking form a phase different from that conformal phase. So it might be interesting to ask what happens in between. And the probative calculation found that fixed point collision happened in some particular number of flavor, NC. So this is the mechanism leading to the difference between large N limit and the small N limit. Also, abelian gauge theory has a similar feature. So for example, we have U1 gauge theory coupled with N flavor of fermions and bosons, and we also have the similar behavior happened, particularly when dimension is 2 plus 1 and N is equal to 2. So means two component of bosons. So this theory might interest most of you in the audience because it describes the deconfined phase transition. However, it's still an open question that if this transition is, what's the nature of this transition? Because we don't know if this transition lives on the left side or on the right side of this particular n number of flavor where the fixed point collision happened. So with this examples, I talked about how these complex fixed points can exist in our system. And it would have some physical consequence, and we are very interested in it because of some physical problems. So now let's look closer to this complex fixed point. So it's not surprising that the complex fixed point will affect its nearby region in the parameter space. Just as what happens for the real fixed point. Suppose we have a complex fixed point very close to the real axis of the physical coupling. So it's not hard to imagine that our real system would be affected by this complex fixed point in a perturbative way. Based on our knowledge of the real fixed points, we can know around the fixed point, there is very slow RG flow leading to very large correlation length. And this phenomenon reminds us the five-state pulse model, in which first order phase very weak first order phase transition take place, and the phenomenon is exactly this. Also, remember we talk about five-state pulse model has the complex fixed points in the system. They are created just from the fixed point collision. So the complex fixed points are very close to the real axis. So this leads us to think the feature, the weakness of the first order phase transition in the five-state POTS model results in the existence of complex fixed points nearby. So when we talk about a fixed point, we always care about like quantitatively feature, such as like universal quantities. So in order to know this, we can ask a question, what type of theory actually characterizes the complex fixed point? Recently, those people proposed that complex fixed point is described by complex CFT, just as the real fixed point is described by real CFT we know for a long time. And those complex CFTs is new type of non-unitary CFT. It's different from the non-unitary CFT people studied before, such as the Liang singularity, where the central charge and the scaling dimensions are real number. Here, the complex CFT has complex central charge and the complex scaling dimensions. So this is this means this CFT is different from what we know before. As we know, the complex fixed point in the, say, five-state POTS model is described by the complex CFT, but no one knows how to solve it. And no one knows like, what's the information we can get from that complex CFT. Those people also have a natural guess about how to do it based on the knowledge of Q smaller than or equal to 4 POTS model. So in those models, we know there are continuous phase transition and corresponds to well-known CFTs. So the central charge of scaling dimensions are obtained, and they can be write as a function of Q. So it's very simple. We can list some of the central charge and some of scaling dimensions of those CFTs. When Q is equal to 2 and 3, we are able to get two sets of these data describing the critical point and the tricritical point in the Q state POTS model. When Q is equal to 4, we can only find one set of data because the two fixed points collide at Q is equal to 4. Notice there is an operator. So this operator is irrelevant at the critical point and relevant at the tricritical point. But it becomes exactly marginal at this collision point. So this is not special in the Q-state POTS model. For any fixed point collision case, we can always find such operator. Connecting two fixed points and become exactly marginal at the collision point. For experts, this one in the Q-state POTS model is the subleading singlet operator. Okay, now it's time to look at Q larger than 4 cases.
The last statement you just made was, for any two CFTs, you can find an operator that connects them?
For any fixed point collision process, we can find an operator connect to this unstable and a stable fixed point. And then when they collide, it becomes marginal.
Oh.
Yes. So it means you need this process first, and then it's ensure you to have that operator.
Is this an obvious statement or something that is
Maybe it's not that obvious, but I think it's quite general. Yes. Like no one have approved.
It's the provision that drives you from the unstable to the stable fixed point. So by that construct, by definition, you always exist.
I mean, the RG flow is a double zero, so d lambda lambda is lambda squared. So
yes, yes, yes. Okay, so let us look at this Q larger than 4 state pos model. So by using those expressions I presented before, we can still use some integer value larger than 4 to this expression and get the central charge and the scaling dimensions. What we get are complex values, actually. So those people propose that those complex values actually describe the complex fixed points. So it's a pure conjecture. So because of the analytical continuation we do for Q is equal to 5, we can get those numbers. And then since the complex fixed point exists, then we conjecture these data describe the complex fixed points. Now with this conjecture, based on the idea of conformal perturbation theory, we should know that beside any CFT, so the region should contain the information of that CFT. And also, if in the parameter region, if some place is pretty near the CFT, it should also have an approximate conformal invariance, because we don't flow that far away from this fixed point. So this thing should work for the complex CFT as well. If we have a complex CFT describe a complex fixed point, then if this complex fixed point is very close to the real axis, then our real system should have approximate conformality. And also, in our real system, there should be some way to detect the information of the complex CFT. So this indicates that we can use some method to show if the analytical continuation mentioned before is correct. Yep.
So is there any knowledge about the microscopic realization of these complex CFTs, either as a field theory or on the lattice? Say if it was on the lattice, some partition function with complex Boltzmann weights, or
So those are not like some CFTs are proposed to have like complex scaling dimensions, but they are not complex CFTs. So in particular here, we have like central charges complex. We don't have such a like low energy theory to describe that. It's only this conjecture.
Okay, so there is no microscopic lattice realization.
No,
okay.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Does the Coulomb gas formulation count as microscopic?
That's.
Or can you realize this with the Coulomb gas?
Yeah, I think so, because the POTS model can be mapped to Coulomb gas. And when Q is larger than 4, we get some coefficient of the Coulomb gas's complex number. Yeah, that's true. In the Coulomb gas formalism, we might able to like formulate this thing.
So the complex CFT itself?
Yes. Like we have some like expression for central charge as a function of that parameter in the Coulomb gas, so that's possible if the coefficient of the Coulomb gas is complex number or something like that. Yeah.
So does it make sense to ask about the number of relevant perturbations at the complex fixed point? Or maybe that's a meaningless statement because scaling dimensions are complex.
Yeah. Firstly, is so we cannot solve it. We don't know like all of the like perturbation for that CFT, but
for very low what Gayfrey wants you to do, take a lattice POTS model with complex weights.
Uh-huh.
How many parameters do you need to tune to land at that?
How many
in the lattice theory that flows to that complex fixed point?
But this is only, so we only know this after we know the lattice model will flow to that fixed point,
and
right?
It may not.
And Yeah, and if we already know the CFT, then we know like what kind of perturbation we need to add. But if we don't know that CFT, then nothing we can know. Yeah.
It's only the real part of the dimension matters.
Right? Only the real part matters.
Yeah.
The
ideas to know if the coupling is going to grow or decrease.
The imaginary part is just like lifetime, can analog to lifetime. Real part is the like.
You could just work with these two couplings, real and imaginary part, in the same equations and just look at the flows, right? We know the flows.
But the flows must be complex.
I know.
Yeah, in the complex plan.
Was 2 minus 4 small, for instance, in the two-state Potts model. That is a perturbatively accessible complex fixed point.
Yeah.
So then there, I suppose you could ask how many relevant perturbations, you know, in the sense of real part of the scaling dimension being bigger than 2.
Yeah.
And all.
Yeah, in the example of Potts model, all those fixed points are repulsive.
Yes.
I think you need to tune 4 parameters, 4 real parameters.
Yes. Like the one is the energy operator, the other one is the subleading singlet. Yeah, these two to reach the complex fixed point. Oh, yes, this is what you asked. Sorry. Yes. So in order to study those questions, we study the quantum Q-state Potts model. The model is similar to the transverse field Ising model. When Q is equal to 2, it's transverse field Ising model. And the omega is spin flip operator, M is a spin Z operator, and for generic Q, they are generic operators. Analog to those operators. And if we have like choose a basis which is eigenvector of the spin Z operator, we can have this type of operation for the spin Z operator and the spin flip operator. It's just familiar things. And also in the quantum Q state Potts model, the nature of phase transition is the same as classical Potts model. From the it changes from the continuous phase transition to first order phase transition by changing the number of Q. When Q is equal to 5, the first order phase transition is very weak. So as we proposed, there must be some approximate conformal invariance at some particular length scale. For our real system. So in order to show this first, we calculate the entanglement entropy numerically. As we know, the entanglement for a CFT, entanglement entropy is scaled as this universal scaling law with the coefficient C is the central charge. And using the standard procedure, we firstly cut this system into 2 parts and then compute the reduced density matrix and compute the entropy. So following the standard procedure, we are able to calculate this quantity. So we did this calculation for various Q at different system sizes. Our data find that not only Q is equal to 3 and 4 follows this universal scaling law. When Q is larger than 4, our data also follow this universal scaling law. So this already shows us the approximate conformal invariance in our real system.
So you're sitting at the self-dual coupling or something?
Yes, sure.
There's some critical coupling.
Yes, sure.
Which is also the transition.
Yeah.
Yes, that's just to change the transition to first order.
You know exactly the point.
Yes. Okay. So when we slightly increase our system size, we find a similar thing. Okay, so this by showing this, we already show the approximate conformality, but we want to quantitatively study it. So we fit our data with this universal scaling law. And here I list our result. So in the first row are the exact result of the central charge. When Q is equal to 3 and 4, so here are the exact central charge for the corresponding CFT. When Q is larger than 4, what we have here is the real part of the complex central charge by in the previous work by doing analytical continuation. So these are our result. So when Q is equal to 3 and 4, we can find our central charge is pretty close to those exact result. And when we increase the system size, we found the central charge is closer to the exact value. And when Q is larger than 4, our data is pretty close to the real part of the central charge here. But it has more obvious change when we increase the system size. So this is actually, this makes sense because we are simulating the weakly first order phase transition. We are not hit any fixed point. So the thing we measure directly should have a drift behavior, depends on the system size or length scale.
So is that formula between the entropy and the central charge so in that formula you see just the real part?
Oh, you said the complex FT, no. Not necessary.
I mean, this formula.
This formula only applies for real CFT, where the central charge is of course real. There's no proof for it for the complex CFT. Yes.
So question. Oh, sorry. So if it's a first order transition at the critical point,
yep,
it would be like a phase like coexistence.
Uh-huh.
Because it's first order, I guess the coexistence, depending on the initial state, probably you get different entanglement entropy.
So here, since we have very extremely weak first order phase transition, we don't see any like, so the coexistence is very weak, firstly. And what do you want to ask is, like, what is entropy?
The convergence of entanglement entropy with different initial states.
So as I said, the...
You have a unique cross state.
Hmm?
It's not like a crossover in a strong first order phase transition.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So we want to quantitatively study this drift behavior in more detail. So what we want to learn is how the central charge change depending on the system size. So what we do is to take two steps. So the first step is to study how the central charge depends on the physical coupling. And then secondly, if we know how the coupling depends on the system size, then we know the whole thing. So for the first step, we know the celebrated C theorem. So we always say that C theorem means the central charge decrease when we along the RG flow. But this is for like real CFT. Exactly, we can like write down its formal expression as this. So the central charge dependence on the physical coupling is equal to the beta function of the coupling. And based on this equality, it's much easier to do analytical continuation to apply this equality to the complex plane of the physical coupling. And also, since we already know the beta function of our physical coupling, we can combine them together to get how the central charge depends on the system size L. Well, L naught is the particular length scale where the physical coupling is equal to zero. And we can see this expression has a constant contribution. So this constant is actually the real part of the central charge at the complex fixed point. And here we call this coefficient of the drift because it controls how severe the drift is. Based on this expression, so I have three comments about it. So firstly, this expression only applied when the length scale is pretty close to the L naught. Otherwise, it will like flow away to somewhere else. And secondly, there might be like higher order corrections to the beta function first. So the L naught is the length scale at lambda is equal to zero. So the physical coupling change under the length scale. And when the length scale is L naught, we have lambda is equal to zero. Okay.
So it's gonna practically it's gonna be part of the fitting parameter?
Yes, yes. Practically we don't know it. But it's bad.
Is that equation the statement of the C-theorem?
So sorry, which equation? The second. This one. Yes. Yes.
So presumably you're assuming that you're already in the continuum the scaling regime where you can apply this C-theorem.
Yes, continuum you mean for the Potts model, the low energy theory
yeah.
for that.
Maybe
yeah, yeah.
Can't use it on lattice.
Yeah, sure. I've already have that like RG flow diagram, so I use this on that flow diagram. Yes.
So the C-theorem is supposed to be applicable to non-uniform.
So because this equality is easy to extend to for complex values.
So the answer is yes.
So the answer is yes. Sorry.
So the derivation goes to
Derivation for this to go to complex plane
yeah.
is in our paper.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought some of the derivation relies on entanglement entropy. Some versions of the derivation.
Oh, the that's for the
original C theorem.
Yeah, that's the original C theorem. So, but this we can just directly extend it to the complex plane.
Because
so here if we extend this to the complex plane, we need like imaginary part and the real part. So we just separate the imaginary part and the real part of central charge and the physical coupling, both of them, and then we can write series of equations. Then we can see how.
You're always on the physical line, right? Where there's a first order transition.
Yeah, sure.
For the constant, you have to.
Yeah, sure. Sure, otherwise there's only on this one line of RG flow, yes. In order to determine this value, we need to extend it to the complex plane, yes. Okay, so the third comment is this, about this drift coefficient. So this coefficient is equal to the position of the complex fixed point to the cube, and also proportional to the imaginary part of the central charge. As L equal to CI is imaginary part of the central charge.
What's C
is the central charge at the complex fixed point. But, yeah, yes.
That's defined at L. Is L equal to infinity?
No, L is equal to L. L is equal to L naught. When L is equal to L naught, we're at the lambda is equal to zero. Then we need to go to the imaginary axis. Yes, and then get the C exact. Okay. So this equality means if we increase the number of Q, we can see the complex fixed points move away from each other. Also move away from the real axis. And also the imaginary part of the central charge gets larger. And this indicates the more severe drift behavior.
These two statements are equivalent,
I think they can like go to each other.
I mean, the first thought and the second thought, they are the same
statement. It might not, are they? But you can derive one from another. It's not that, sorry?
I can derive either from the other.
Yeah. Yeah, you got any one of them from the other. Yes, yes. Okay. So here we present our numerical data to study the drift behavior comprehensively. So we extract the central charge at the first order phase transition for various system sizes and various Q. When Q is equal to 3, it's our familiar CFT. And so the central charge drift follows the usual finite size scaling of the CFT. So it goes power law. And when Q is larger than 4, we can see the drift behavior here, derived here, fits pretty better than the power law behavior. So this indicates that the weakly first order phase transition is consistent with this drift behavior. Then let's look more closer to those fitted data. So the constant contribution, as we know, should be the real part of the central charge. Then we compare our fitted data here with the value obtained by analytical continuation. So this means the analytical continuation is valid, although there is some like very small difference, maybe result from the difference between quantum phase transition and the classical phase transition. Okay, so we can also look at the drift coefficient. It increases as Q as the number of Q increases. So this is consistent with our theoretical expectation. Also the L naught. So L naught is also a fitted parameter. And L naught decreases as we increase the number of Q. So this is consistent with our expectation because when the complex fixed point away from each other, then the length scale here becomes smaller. So our numerical result is consistent with the theoretical picture.
So L naught is basically square root of correlation length?
Basic square root of correlation length?
Yeah, I think L naught is the length you take from lambda negative to lambda zero. Correlation length is from lambda negative to lambda positive. So it sounds like it's correct.
Lambda negative from.
And numerically.
Yes. Basic. It's numerics. But Q is equal. Yeah, this is. Yeah, this value pretty works. It's 400. But I think this value is much smaller than the correlation length. I think 7 is about like 100 or larger than 100. Yes.
Oh. Isn't the value alpha related to the imaginary part of the central?
Yes, proportional. Like.
Proportional, you don't know the exact value.
And so this is at, so we derive this at one loop order, so we can add higher loop order.
Okay,
and
even can you compare? You have a comparison of alpha with the imaginary part of the central charge.
So at one loop order, the alpha is equal like 3 over 2 imaginary part of central charge,
yes,
so something like this. That's because this number is too small, it's not that easy to see if it's consistent with that. And also the value, I haven't listed. So the value from analytical continuation is too small as well. So compared to like small value is, yeah, not that easy. We can just like qualitatively know those things. Okay, besides this central charge, also, the scaling dimensions at the weakly first order phase transition also change. Yeah, since it's no longer a universal value. So in this work, they already derived the how the scaling dimension change as a function of system size. Here in our numerics, we just roughly calculate the ratio of two scaling dimensions of two operators, and so we can also fit the function with our data. And but because the limitation of numerics and the way our system size is not that large, so I don't think we get the complete information of the drift of scaling dimensions. And the previous, there is another work by doing classical Monte Carlo on POTS model. So they find the drift of some particular exponent. And so the exponent, the drift of this exponent is qualitatively the same as this drift behavior. Also, so finally, let me talk about the further indication, a very interesting further indication of the existence of complex fixed point, so which is the quantum critical region at finite temperature. As we know, for a CFT at zero temperature, the critical point will be extended to a critical region at finite temperature. We can find it anywhere in this textbook. And we can also have the same thought about this complex CFT. So there's no reason to forbidden the complex CFT have the critical region. Suppose for a complex CFT at one complex fixed point, there is a critical fan, and within the critical fan, we can extract some universal information of this complex CFT. And also, if we deviate from the critical physical coupling, we still can get some universal information. Then, suppose we are studying a real system with a pair of complex conjugate fixed points. Those two critical fans overlap with each other. Then there is some critical region above this real axis. So this means even though we have a weakly first order phase transition, we can still have a critical fan above the small gap. So at zero temperature, although the continuous phase transition and the first order phase transition are conceptually distinct, at the finite temperature, it might not have that sharp distinguishing. So in order to detect the quantum critical region, what we usually do is to compute the two-point function. And so here for the CFT case, we can just do a conformal transformation to get a two-point function at a finite temperature from its zero temperature result. And then what we can do for the complex CFT or the first order phase transition is to start from this one of the complex fixed point and do conformal transformation to get a behavior above this complex fixed point. And then do some perturbation back to the real axis. Then this is what we can get for the two-point function at finite temperature. The simplest quantity we can look at is the correlation length, because we know any correlation function at finite temperature should have exponential decay. But the correlation length has a non-trivial dependence on the temperature. So here is its dependence. Delta is the gap above this first order phase transition. It's very small. So we can see when temperature is not that large, it's very small. So the correlation length approximately goes like exponential, the gap divided by T, which is the behavior at low temperature limit of the gapped system. And when we have very large temperature, the correlation length approximately goes as 1 over temperature. This is the typical critical behavior in the critical region. So in this type of system, we expect to see some crossover between a gapped system and a critical region at finite temperature. So this might be very interesting, and there are also a lot of interesting things to do along this direction. We leave for future work. So now let me wrap up. So in this talk, I talk about the complex fixed point and the complex FT, and I show our numerical result showing the approximate conformality, and also our numerical result supports the conjecture of complex CFT, supports the analytical continuation, and we propose we can use the comprehensively study the drift behavior to get some information of complex CFT from our real system. And also talk about the indication for critical region at finite temperature. Also, there are many other open questions, like how can we hit the complex fixed point? So those are very interesting questions we can leave for future work. Thank you for your attention.
So the Boltz model case, if you're the Q is smaller than 4, the real fixed points.
Uh-huh.
And the CFT, we know that there's this enlarged symmetry at the fixed point. At the very least, the separate symmetry for right mover and left mover.
You mean the symmetry? What's
yeah.
Okay. SQ symmetry you mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay,
it's
okay.
It's enlarged to move at the critical fixed points.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So for Q bigger than 5 in this intermediate scale, is there enlarged symmetry? Approximately enlarged.
I don't know, because so for non-unitary CFT, so we already, so we cannot have like something like conserved current or something like that. So I suspect that there's no such symmetry in the system, but there's no like work about this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Is there still a sense of chirality?
So because the like Q is equal to 4 Boltz model already has enlarged symmetry, like U1 symmetry at the critical point.
Yeah, that's SO4 or something.
Sorry?
That's SO4.
That's SO4.
It's the same as SU2 level 1 fixed.
Yeah. Oh, yes. True. That's true. Yeah. And But in the complex CFT, so I suspect that there's no such like current operator corresponding to like additional symmetry.
The,
yeah.
The question is there a numerical way to get a handle?
Numerical way. I don't know so far. Yeah. Maybe we can like couple some other probe field something like that to do.
Yeah, so there's some weird correlator that has the same scaling dimension as the Boltz order parameter, I think, at Q equals 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so there's the string operators which have parallel correlations.
String operator?
There's some such operator, right? That's something that you can measure numerically.
Yeah. But if we can find that such operator, we can measure it. Yeah. So far, like we don't. So far, we have like the CFT is non-solvable. So we have infinite number of like primaries things. So it's a little bit hard to say, like which type of operator we should consider as something particular thing.
Questions? Okay, if not, let's thank Pat again.